today I'm going to start teaching on what totally transformed my life, and that's what I call spirit, soul, and body. And everything I've taught up until this point is basically just to establish that the Word of God has to be authority in your life. You have to have a Christian philosophy, perspective on things, and all of those things are foundational because everything I'll share with you came through the Word of God. So if you didn't honor the Word of God and understand that it's like a seed and how it works, well, then the truths I share with you, they aren't based on philosophy, you know, worldly philosophy. They aren't based on carnal things. It's all based on the Word of God. So tried to get everybody into agreement on the Word of God, but now here's the meat and potatoes. This is what totally transformed my life. And real quickly, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I had a miraculous encounter with the Lord March the 23rd, 1968. You will have to remember that date to be able to graduate from school. It's important. And so it's been over 49 years ago, and I had this miraculous encounter where God showed me His love, and it instantly just transformed my whole thinking, my desires, and everything. But I was struggling because I couldn't understand how God could love me. I mean, I knew He did. I had experienced it. I had a tangible love of God. For 4.5 months, I was caught up in the presence of God, but I couldn't understand how God could love me. And I wasn't the worst person around, but I certainly knew all of my sins. And how could a holy God love me with pure love the way that He did? And man, I struggled with it. And if I hadn't gotten hold of the truths that I'm going to be sharing with you, I'd have lost it. Because eventually, as you think in your heart, that's the way that you are, Proverbs 23:7. And my thinking was all screwed up, and so I couldn't understand and fully embrace how that God could love me until the Lord showed me these things that I'm going to be sharing with you. And this just transformed my life. And everything that I teach basically comes out of this one revelation. And some of you may not understand that, but it really does. Everything revolves around who you are in Christ. There's a lot of terminology people put on this. They talk about in Christ realities, finished work, and there's a lot of other terminologies. But I call it spirit, soul, and body because when I understood that I was a three-part being, this just revolutionized my life. So let me first of all just say that, you know, it's obvious that you got a body. Everybody knows that. You can see your body, you can feel your body, things like that. But you also know that there's an inner person on the inside. Like I could come up and touch you and you could feel that and you would know that I've touched you. But I can talk to you. You could be listening to a CD and I'm not even be there. And I could touch you and either make you happy or mad or something like that. Everybody understands that there's an inner part of them that is not visible, not tangible. So everybody, by just, living, understands that you're a two-part being. But you're actually a three-part being. And most people, even most Christians, do not have a good understanding that there is a third part of them. We use the term spirit and soul interchangeably often, and people will think that they're the same thing, and yet they aren't. And here's one of the verses. Let me turn over and start with this out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. There's other places that make this point, but this has it all in one verse. It says in verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely. "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So this just makes it very clear that you have a spirit, soul, and body. Soul and spirit are not the same thing. If they were, He wouldn't have made a separation between them right here. So you have a spirit, soul, and body. And God is a spirit. John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Your spirit is the part of you that was changed. The spirit is the new you. And let's put this together with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. These verses, I have used this, man, tens of thousands of times I've quoted these verses. In verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This isn't talking about your physical body. Your physical body is not changed. You know, I've had a lady in here that's talked to me, and then Arthur Mainchez, we've been debating all of this about, is your body redeemed? And anyway, it's not a big deal. You can believe what you want to. But the scripture says we are waiting for the redemption of the purchased possession. Your body is purchased. Jesus died for you to have a glorified body, but you don't have that glorified body yet. You do not have the redemption of the purchased possession. Your body has been purchased, your soul has been purchased, but they aren't redeemed. The only part of you that is redeemed, that you have what Jesus died to produce, is in your spirit. Your spirit is the new part of you. Your body has yet to change, and your soul has yet to change. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that when now we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, talking about our resurrected body and us being completely transformed spirit, soul, and body, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So right now we don't have a glorified mind. We don't have our perfect mind. In the spirit, we have the mind of Christ, but this little peanut brain up here does not know all things. And if you think it does, just wait until the test. Amen. Not everybody makes 100. Your body and your soul haven't been changed yet. They've been purchased, but they aren't redeemed. You know, when I was a kid, a lot of you are too young to know this, but when I was a kid, they gave away S&H green stamps. When you bought things at the grocery store. And so my mother let me keep all of the S&H green stamps, and you had books, and you'd have to lick them and stick them in these books and fill these books up. And then you went to what they called a redemption center, an S&H green stamp redemption center. And you could go in there, and depending on how many stamps you had, how many books, you could buy lamps, you could buy anything. They had furniture, they had anything you'd want. And it was all purchased by these stamps. So you got the stamps when you bought the stuff, but did you know the stamps weren't what you wanted? The stamps were just a guarantee that you had spent the money, and then you take the stamps and then you got what you want. You want to redeem those stamps. So it was the redemption of those stamps that you were after. And so this physical body is not redeemed. It's been purchased, and I can exercise my faith and take advantage of that purchase, and I can walk in health and stuff, but my body is not my glorified body. Hallelujah. Man, some of us can say amen. My glorified body is going to be better than this. Amen. And my soul is in the process of being renewed, but it's not complete yet. When I see Him, I will know all things, even as also I am known. And so my soul and my body aren't redeemed, but my spirit, it says right here, if any man be in Christ, and I could spend more time on this, but the term in Christ is talking about in the spirit. It's the spirit part of us. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. You can just tell by observation that that's not talking about your body. If you were fat before you got saved, you're still going to be fat after you get saved. Your body doesn't just instantly, it isn't all brand new. You know what? If you were a man before you got saved, you're still going to be a man. If you're a woman, you're still going to be a woman. Your body isn't changed yet. You do not have a glorified body. And your soul isn't changed yet. You still have your memories. You still have your thoughts. You don't have my thoughts. You don't think perfectly. If you've had hurts and pains and fears and all kinds of things happen, you still have those things. Your mind is not changed. Now, it's subject to change. You can renew it, and to the degree that we renew our mind and get it in agreement with our spirit, we can experience victory. I'm not saying you have to just live that way and not ever change, but it's not automatic. But when you get born again, your spirit is instantly changed. Your spirit, it says, if you are in Christ, old things have passed away. It didn't say old things are passing away. Old things are going to pass away. Old things should pass away. It says old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And next verse says, and all things are of Christ. In your spirit, you are a completely brand new person. You are completely changed. There isn't any failure. There isn't any fear. There isn't any sin. There isn't anything wrong. Your spirit, I'll say these things in more detail as we go through this series, But your spirit right now, your born again spirit, is as perfect and pure as it will ever be in eternity. One third of your salvation is over. Your spirit is perfected and complete. And I'll get into this in more detail, but it's also sealed by the Holy Spirit. And when you as a Christian sin or operate in fear or bitterness or whatever, your sin affects your body and it affects your soul, but it doesn't affect your spirit because your spirit is completely encased and sealed by the Holy Spirit. The purity and the holiness that you were created in remains there. And even though a Christian sins, it does not affect your spirit. Since God is a spirit, John 4:24, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is looking at your spirit. He's not looking at your flesh. It doesn't matter to God if you're a male or female. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. He knows that, and He will help you to be the best woman or the best man you can ever be. But He doesn't relate to you on the basis of whether you're male or female, on the basis of whether you're tall or short, fat or skinny, or any of these kind of things. God looks at you and relates to you based on the Spirit. And the Scripture says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? One of the reasons that we don't have a better relationship with the Lord is because we look on the outward appearance. We look on the outside. There are some of you so upset over the way that, you know, your body, you tried to lose weight and you can't lose weight, and you just hate yourself and hate these things, and you think, how could God love me? I don't love myself over there. God sees you different than you see yourself. You see all of the mistakes that you've made. You see all of this stuff. God doesn't see you that way. God is a spirit. And for you to worship Him, you have to worship Him in spirit, which is completely brand new and is perfect and pure and holy. And if you come before God saying, oh God, I'm so unworthy, and oh God, I failed you, and oh God, how could you ever love me? You aren't in the spirit. You are in the flesh. You are approaching God on the basis of your own self and performance. And I'm telling you, this is radical what I'm saying. And what changed my life was I just was looking on the outside. Again, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. There's not a one of you that grew up thinking spiritually. You grew up thinking carnally. Carnal doesn't necessarily mean sin. All sin is carnal, but not all carnality is sin. The word carnal just means of your five senses. You are dominated by what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. We all grew up living in this physical realm and not really aware of the spiritual realm. Now, to some degree, some people have been exposed to it more than others, but still, even at our very best, most people are carnal. They are dominated by what they see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. We deal with people on what they look like, how they act on all of these physical, natural things, and we just assume that God deals with us that way. But Jesus said that God is a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when you got born again, God changed your spirit so that God now can deal with you and treat you exactly the way He treats Jesus, because in your spirit, you are identical to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Man, if you hadn't heard me say these things before, this is just mind-blowing. I know many of you have heard this, but man, this just radically changed my life. Because again, I knew by experience that God loved me, but I couldn't understand it. And it was because I was looking on the outside. And I thought, I'm not worthy of God loving me. And on the outside, I'm not. I wasn't then. I'm not now. I don't deserve God's goodness. I don't deserve His love. But God is a spirit. And when I made Jesus my Lord, He changed me and made me a brand new creature. Old things passed away. All things became new. And in my spirit, I'm as pure and holy as Jesus is, because it's Jesus that gave me His holiness. So in your book here, I've got some functional diagrams. You might look at these on the first page here, page one. I've got three circles, one inside of the other. And let me emphasize, these are functional diagrams. You are not three circles. Some of us are closer to that than others. A little bit more round than others. But you know what? This is just to illustrate a point. And this is that your body is this outer circle. And you can see that, but then inside of your body, you have a soul. And again, everybody's aware that you have a soul, that there are emotions, there are feelings and things inside that aren't outside. And so you're aware of that. But the core of you, the real you, is a spirit being. And this is the reason that people that don't know the Lord, it doesn't matter how well they take care of this body. It doesn't matter if they bodybuilders, if they're beautiful people, if they educate themselves, and if they do everything to deal with the soul and the body, and they develop them the most that they can. Inside, they're still going to be miserable because prior to getting born again, your spirit was dead. When the Lord told Adam in the second chapter of Genesis, verses 16 and 17, in the day you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. They didn't die that day physically. Adam lived 930 years after that. So it wasn't talking about physical death. And it wasn't just talking about soulish death. But in their spirit, boom, like that, they died instantly. And here's another thing I've got to straighten out. Death to most people means you cease to exist. It's over. There's nothing. That's not ever what the Bible means. When they died, their spirit didn't cease to exist. It means that it was separated. That's what the Bible means by death. Death is nothing but separation. When you die from this body, you don't cease to exist. You just separate from this body. This body lays down, but your soul and your spirit go to be with the Lord. And someday we will be reunified with a body. Even the unbelievers will have a body that's resurrected. And it will be sent to hell if they don't accept the Lord. But they died. They were separated from God spiritually. And this spirit that was inside of them, it still existed, but it began to function independent of God. And it actually came under the influence and dominion of the devil. And anyway, I could spend a lot of time on this, but in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we were by nature, talking about our spirit, children of wrath, even as others, and the God of this world occupied us. A person, before they're born again, their spirit is separated from God. It's not the way that God intended it to be. It is operating independent of God and under the influence of the devil, and we are by nature a sinner. Even a little tiny baby, when it's born, is born a sinner. And this is something that is not said. Man, I could spend all class on this. This is four classes trying to summarize probably the most important thing God ever showed me. So I'm not going to be able to cover everything. But little children are born with a sin nature. Their spirit is separated from God. Now, until they reach what people call an age of accountability, God doesn't impute that sin unto them. This is from Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 5. And I could verify all of these things. But children, if they were to die prior to this time when they intentionally not only disobey their parents or disobey a teacher or disobey something, but they know that I am rebelling at God. I am sinning. This is not what God told me to do. Until that time, that sin nature isn't imputed unto them. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. So if they were to die prior to that time, they would go directly into the presence of the Lord. But once you cross that line and you willingly rebel at God, then that sin nature comes alive, Romans chapter 7, and you die. And your sin nature begins to start being imputed unto you. All of us have crossed that threshold, and before we made Jesus our Lord, Satan just began to dominate us through this sin nature. People sin because they're sinners. You know, the founding fathers of America knew this. And that's the reason that in Jeremiah, I'd have to find the verse, but Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Our founding fathers used that verse, and that's the reason that they didn't invest absolute power in a king, because they knew that even if they had a good king this time, the next king, the heart of man is wicked. So they put in these checks and balances, and they based all of this on the Word of God because they understood people were bad. Today, modern man has come along, oh, everybody's good. Let's just put down our weapons and let's talk to everybody. If we could just treat everybody right, nobody, there wouldn't be any terrorists. It's our fault. We made them this way. No, we didn't. Amen. Men are evil. And you need governments and you need armies and you need things to protect yourself. But there are people that believe everybody's basically good. No, you are at your core, before you get born again, evil. And the reason you do evil is because you are evil in your heart. And I know there's people sitting right here, they were offended. How dare you say that about me? You know what? If you don't recognize your need for a Savior, if you think God saved you and it didn't take as much to save you as it did somebody else because you were really a good person, I wonder if you're saved. Jesus isn't just the icing on the cake. Man, you have to recognize that you are a mess without Jesus and that at your core, you're evil. And you need to be born again. You can't save yourself. This is why that religion comes along and says, well, if you'll just come to church and if you'll believe there's a God and if you'll pay your tithe and if you'll live good, then God will love you and everything will be good. They think if your good outweighs your bad, then somehow or another, God is going to accept you. No, that has nothing to do with it. Amen. I just had a man on my program yesterday. I made 2 weeks worth of television programs and he had murdered a man and he shot five people, tried to kill all of them and murdered them all. And you know what? This guy wasn't any more lost than I was. Amen. I've never done any of that stuff. But you know what? There isn't a hell number two or a hell number three. It's not like if you miss heaven by an inch that you're going to somehow or another be better than other people. Man, we were all sinners. We had all sinned. You had a sin nature. And it doesn't matter how much you clean up this flesh. It doesn't matter if you make a New Year's resolution and promise you're going to be better. And if you quit thinking bad and all of this stuff, if you deal with your body and your soul, it doesn't matter how much you clean them up. You are at your core a sinner and you need to be born again. But the good news is, when you do get born again, it's not just like on a ledger in a book someplace that God wrote down that you're saved and that someday, and when you get to heaven, then you're going to be changed and then you're going to experience salvation. No, in your spirit, you are already completely, completely changed. You are a brand new person. And the problem is that Christians don't know this. Why? Because they look in a mirror. And they say, I thought I was going to be changed. I thought if I was in Christ, old things would pass away. And you still got the same zits. You still got the same ugly. You still got the same weight. You still got the same thoughts. You know, I have a lot of prisoners that listen to me, thousands of them. And I mean, I get a lot of response from prisoners. And they will, you know, say that they got, when you get in prison, you know that you've messed up. You know that you need help. And so there's a lot of people that cry out to God and somebody comes along and tells them, believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be a new creature. Old things will pass away. All things will become new. And so, man, they recognize I need a new start. So they pray. And then they wake up in the morning and they're in the same jail cell. They got the same prison guards. They're being imputed. The same sins are being imputed unto them. Everything's the same. And if they aren't careful, they'll sit there and wonder, did Jesus really do anything for me? Because we are carnal. Man looks on the outward appearance. And so people look on the outside and think, well, nothing changed. I'm in the same jail cell. Everything's the same. I still got 20 years to go. I'm not sure that Jesus changed me. He didn't change you in your flesh. He didn't change your physical circumstances. Now, again, those things are subject to change. Anything that's physical is subject to change. As you apply your faith and believe God, you can see things change. Like this Gerardo that we were interviewing yesterday, he had a mandatory death sentence. And yet he humbled himself and believed God before he ever got to trial. And God reduced it to 7 years and he served it and he's out and he's just doing a great job. Is Gerardo in here? He said he was going to come this morning. Are you in here? I guess he's coming later. But anyway, he's a great guy. And man, he's got 60 people that work for him and he's helping these people get out of jail and do things and God's using him. But you know what? You can change things, but it doesn't instantly change when you get born again. The only change that really took place when you got born again is in your spirit. And I keep pointing to my belly because Jesus said in John chapter 7, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed upon him would receive. So it's, you know, the Bible, I don't know if that's metaphorically or if it's accurate, but the Bible speaks of the Spirit being in your belly. Some of us look like we got more of the Spirit than others, amen. And it's not true.
in your belly, in your spirit, you are brand new. And look at these next drawings that I've got. Again, these are functional diagrams here, not three circles. This one at the top of the page shows your spirit over on the left, and then your soul in the middle, and then the body. And the point of this is to illustrate that there is zero. Boy, get this. There is zero connection between your spirit and your body. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 3. That which is spirit is spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. You can't contact the spirit realm in any physical, carnal, natural way. And because of that, again, most of us have been raised totally carnal. We don't believe anything exists that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. And if you can't touch it, if it's not tangible, most people believe it really doesn't exist. And therefore, most Christians, because they are carnal, they are looking at things just in the natural realm, they think, well, if I had the same power that raised Christ from the dead on the inside of me, I'd know it. No, you wouldn't, because it's in the spirit realm, and you, your natural self, is in the carnal realm. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. But the truth is, according to the Word of God, and as we go through these series, I'll show you more scriptures on this. In your spirit, you got raising from the dead power in you already. It's not out there that you have to pray down or something. It's already in you. You are as complete right now in your spirit as Jesus is. You're as perfect, as holy, as pure. You have the mind of Christ. You have the same faith that Christ has. Your spirit is perfect. There is nothing wrong with your spirit. People will say things like, man, I got to get this from my head down into my spirit. No, you don't. Your spirit's already perfect. Your spirit already knows everything. You got to get it from your spirit, which is already perfect, up into your head. We aren't trying to renew our spirit. Your spirit isn't a baby spirit. I'm saying a lot of things, and I'll, as we go through this, I'll explain it in more detail. So just keep your seatbelt on. Don't jump ship. Wait and give me a chance to explain it. But your spirit is not a little baby spirit that has all fingers and toes, but it has to grow. Your spirit is already complete. It's as pure, as perfect, as complete as Jesus is. You are not trying to understand things. Your spirit doesn't have to be educated. Your spirit already knows all things. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. It didn't say you can know all things. It says you know all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, you have the mind of Christ. It's not something you were trying to get. You've already got it. I'm not dealing with your spirit. Your little spirit's perfect. If you could just walk in the spirit, you don't need me. You don't need any education. You don't need anything. Your spirit is perfect, but the problem is your brain. You don't know who you are. You don't see who you are. You deal with things in the natural realm. And just like that illustration I was using, it says that you have the raising from the dead power on the inside of you. The average Christian will go look in the mirror and say, I do. And you'll look at yourself and try and see, do I look like I got raising from the dead power? And then you'll search your mental and emotional part, and I don't feel anything. People say, I don't feel a tingling in my hands. I don't have a goosebump. And you're trying in some physical, natural, carnal way to discern whether you've got these things that God says you have. Jesus said that which is spirit, and that which is flesh. There is no connection between the two except your soul. Your soul is the bridge between your soul and between your spirit and your body. Your soul is made up of your mind, will, and emotions. You could put some other things in there. Your conscience is a part of that and other things. And I'll deal with this in more detail as we go on. But your soul, by faith, your soul can function in the spirit realm, and it can be totally spiritual or it can be totally carnal. It's totally up to you. Matter of fact, this next diagram on this page, it only has two circles in it. But where the two circles intersect, I've labeled that the soul. And this is another functional diagram to show you that you are a carnal part. That's your body and soul, and then you're a spirit. But the soul is actually, it is a part of your heart.
Man, I know that some of you are going to have questions on this. I hadn't got time to explain it, but let me just say this. This shaded part, your spirit and soul together, that's your heart. Your heart is not just your spirit, because the scripture talks about your heart being defiled. Out of your heart proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornications. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 12. And your spirit is perfect and it's sealed. So it can't be your spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about to the women, it says, let your adorning not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, putting on of gold, wearing of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. And so it talks about a hidden part of the heart. In other words, your heart is not your spirit only. Your heart is your spirit and soul combination. And Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, can I be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you can. When you get born again, your spirit is believing. Your spirit never gets into doubt and unbelief. It's never discouraged. It's never anything. It's perfect. It's identical to Jesus. In your spirit, you're identical to Jesus. You have the same set of emotions that Jesus has. You're just like Jesus in your spirit. You're perfect. But your soul is the mental, emotional part of you. And unless you get your soul into agreement, unless you start thinking that I can do all things through Christ, and unless you get to operating from the spirit realm instead of the flesh, you aren't believing with all of your heart. And that's the reason that things don't happen. Victory happens when you get your soul and your spirit in agreement. Look at it this way. You're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is always for God. It's always on fire. It's always healed. It's always blessed. It's always happy. It's never discouraged. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what you have in your spirit all of the time, 24 hours a day. When you're depressed and you're standing before God saying, oh God, I'm so depressed. Would you please help me? Your spirit's just full of love, joy, peace, everything. So when you are depressed and, oh God, I'm so sad, you've solved your problem. Because your spirit's not depressed. That means you aren't in the spirit. You're in the flesh. All you got to do is quit going by what you feel and say, I don't care what I feel. I don't care what things look like. Here is my spirit. This is my spirit. Your spirit is always perfect. And your body over here, it's not evil. Your body is, it's corruptible, it's mortal, but it's not evil, it's just natural. The deciding factor is your soul. And if you get your soul in agreement with your spirit, that's two against one. Amen. Your body just has to obey. It has to be healed, it has to have joy, it has to have peace, it has to prosper. It's two against one. But you get your soul over here in agreement with your body. Oh, man, I hurt. The doctor says I'm going to die. It just shuts off the flow of the spirit. The only way that your spirit has access to your body is through your soul. This is the reason that the Bible talks about as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Your thinking is part of your heart. It's the soulish part of you. And as you think, your thinking establishes whether the spirit, the perfection, and the completion that you have in Christ is going to dominate you, or are you going to go only by the physical? Are you going to go by how you feel, by what circumstances say? It's your choice. And the sad fact is, see, most Christians don't know they have a choice. Most Christians think, well, I know that the Bible says I'm healed, but I'm just trying to be real. I'm just being honest with you. The truth is, I hurt. Here's my medical deal that proves I'm sick. All the medical thing can do is check your physical body. It can't check your spirit. It can't tell you if you have the raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And so when you say, I'm just being real, what you're being is real carnal. You're just being real carnal. You're just being fleshly. You are just operating as a natural person, as if you don't have the almighty power of God living on the inside of you. And you think, I just don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to say that I'm healed when the truth is I'm not healed. No, the truth is you are healed. The truth is you have the raising from the dead, resurrection power of Jesus on the inside of you. And when you get your soul in agreement with your spirit, that's two against one, and it'll flow through your soul and into your body, and it'll raise you from the dead. It'll heal you of anything that you've got. But if you are so carnal that you say, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to confess that I'm healed when I'm really not healed. You know what? It just depends on who you consider is the real you. Do you think this physical body is the real you? Do you think that that emotional part of you is the real you? Well, it's a part of you, I admit. But the real you is the born again person. And in the spirit, you do have raising from the dead power. And in the spirit, you aren't sick and you aren't depressed and you aren't discouraged. And so it's just a matter of who do you think's the real you? If you understood that I am a new person in Christ, old things have passed away, all things have become new, then you're an absolute hypocrite to go by what the doctor says, by what your bank account says, because that's just telling you what the physical realm is. See, the problem is people don't understand who they are in Christ. Again, they will sit there and say, oh yeah, I'm a new person in Christ, but that's more theoretical. It's ethereal. It is not reality to most people. They don't understand that there is a real part of you that cannot be seen, tasted, heard, smelt, felt. There's a part of you that is intangible. Amen. You know, in this place, the Bible says that the angels of God encamp round about those who love Him. In the Old Testament, Elijah had thousands of angels around him, and what I have in the New Covenant is better. So I got thousands and thousands of angels round about me. You got thousands and thousands of angels round about you. This place is crowded. But you can't see it. But they're here. And it's not only true out here. We've had people that see angels flying in and out of these beams and sitting on a beam. And I believe it. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. There's angels in here. There's angels rejoicing today. There's things in the spiritual realm that you can't see. And some of you say, well, I just don't believe any of that stuff. Well, then you can't be hearing me because I don't have a cord tied to anything. You know what? I'm using a wireless microphone. There are signals flying in this room. And not only our microphone, there are television signals in this room. There's radio signals. And if you say, well, there are not because I can't see them or feel them or taste them. Well, that doesn't mean they aren't here. It just means you aren't very smart. There's things beyond your physical ability to understand. And we've come to live with that. You use cell phones that aren't tied to a wall with a cord and stuff like this. There's things going on in the unseen realm here, and we realize that. Well, there's also angels and demons in this room. There's things going on in the unseen realm. And it's not only true out there, it's true inside of you. There is a new you on the inside that the vast majority of people do not know. And because of it, when problems come and they face a financial thing, first thing they do is pull out their wallet. Man, God, can I meet this need? And you don't even check the spiritual realm to see whether you have the power in you to provide something. You react to everything in the carnal realm. A problem hits and immediately you feel hurt. You feel pain and you think, but I'm just being real. No, you're being real carnal because the spiritual part of you is not depressed and discouraged. Every time you've been lower than a gopher hole, laying down there just crying and, oh God, it's so bad. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat a worm. We used to sing that when I was a kid. And you're just sitting here complaining about how bad it is. In the spirit realm, you are basking in the presence of God. Your spirit is full of love, joy, peace. And you thought, well, if it was, I'd know it. No, you wouldn't, because that is spirit, and that which is flesh, and you have to, by faith, renew your mind and begin to speak and confess and change your identity. And you can't see it in a mirror. You can't prove it in a test tube. You just have to go to the Word of God. And the Word of God, man, this is awesome right here. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The first part of that says the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So how do you know what you're like in your spirit. You know, if you want to see if your hair's combed, you can't go by how it feels. You know, right now, I hope my hair's combed. But I can't tell you by how it feels whether my hair's combed or not. You know what I do? I go look in a mirror. And did you know that when you see your face in a mirror, you aren't seeing your face? You're seeing a reflection of your face. How do you know that that reflection is accurate? Hadn't you ever stood in front of one of these mirrors that makes you tall and skinny or short and fat? I go to other countries and sometimes the mirrors are distorted. And if I was to look at that and think, oh, this is terrible. It's because the image isn't exactly the way it's supposed to be. You know what? You just get to where you take what you see in that mirror and you trust it. But it is not really you. Did you know that you have never looked in your face? With your eyes, you have never seen the top of your head. Somebody, oh, yes, I have. No, you've seen a reflection of it. You've seen a picture of it. You've seen a drawing of it. And you learn to trust those things. But did you know you've never seen your face? You have never looked eyeball to eyeball at yourself. And you get to where you trust the reflection. Well, it says in James chapter 1 that whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, talking about the Word of God, is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. When you look into the Word of God, it's a spiritual mirror. If you want to see if your hair's combed, you can't go by how it feels. You have to go look and take action based on what you see. Well, you can't go by how you feel about who you are in Christ. Some of you think, but I'm just a loser and I've been depressed and discouraged and I'm hurt and I'm sick and this is just who I am. No, that's who your physical, natural self is. But there is a spiritual part of you and you can't just sit down and feel it. You know, if I asked you right now, are you hot or are you cold? You wouldn't, somebody says cold. See, it didn't take long for you to say that, did it? If I asked you, are you hot or cold? Nobody would have to say, well, let me pray about it and let me study and I'll come back tomorrow and tell you how I am. You know what? Your body just instantly monitors and knows if you're hot or cold, if you have any pain or if you're sleepy or whatever. So it's just automatic. You just know this. And about your emotions, you automatically know if you're excited, if you're sad, if you're depressed, if you're discouraged. You automatically know these things. You don't have to study and come back and tell me tomorrow how you are. But when it comes to your spirit, you can't feel it. You can't perceive it in any of the ways that we have been taught. You have to go to this mirror and you have to look at it. Amen. And say, how am I? Well, right here, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And some people will say, well, you aren't being honest. Well, it just depends on who you consider the real you to be. If you think the real you is your physical body, well, then it's not honest to say that I'm healed when you are sick and you can prove that you're sick, that you're poor and you can prove that you're poor. But if you are a new person in Christ and if you start walking in Christ, as there's so many scriptures tell us to do, if we'll walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you start walking in Christ, you can't go by how you feel. You can't go by what the doctor says, by what the banker says, by anything. You just go by the Word. Man, the Word says, I am healed. Amen. I am blessed. Yes. I am all of these things. And people who are in the flesh every time will sit there and say, you're lying. And I can prove that you're lying because I can see your bank account. You're saying that God has prospered you and that you're a prosperous person, but it's obvious that you're poor. All they can do is look in the physical realm. They can't see what's in the spirit. You know, I've got another diagram here in this book, if you'll look at this. Here's the one. It's got like a pipe, and it's got the spirit over on the left-hand side, the body over on the right, and in the middle is your soul, and that's your mind, and it's like a valve. If you could imagine that, I've got a pipe in above my head right here, and over on this side is the spirit, and in the spirit is healing, joy, peace, happiness, everything. It's like a water pipe in your house or something. You know, you've got water in there, but it's got to get past the valve before it can come out the spout. You could have a person stand at a sink where there's a water faucet, and if they don't know how to turn the valve on and off, they could die of thirst and have life-giving water inches away from them because they don't know how to get it out. This is exactly what's happening to Christians. In your spirit, you are already perfect. Everything you will ever need is already there. You're as perfect and complete right this moment as you will ever be in eternity. But our mind is like a valve, and it is crossways, because we say, but the Bible says I'm healed, but here's what the doctor says. And you go by what you feel and what you can see more than what the Word of God says. And that just shuts the valve and shuts the flow of God's Spirit through you. The key is you got to get your mind renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world. That means don't be like the world. Don't get the same results that the world gets. How do you keep from being conformed to this world? It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho. It's a word we get metamorphosis from. If you want to be like a caterpillar that spins a cocoon and then comes out this beautiful butterfly, if you want to be changed from something that's earthbound, ugly, creepy, crawly, to something that's beautiful and that can fly, the way you do it is by the renewing of your mind. You got to change this valve. You got to turn that valve to where you say that when the doctor tells you you're going to die, you just say, that's a lie in the name of Jesus. I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Amen. And I know some of you think I'm weird, but I think you're weird. I think you're weird to be born again and be a brand new person in Christ, and yet you live like a person that wasn't born again. And the reason people do that is because, again, they don't understand that they are three parts. They think, I'm just two parts. Functionally, most people only believe there's two parts to them, the outer man and the inner man. And then they might talk about the spirit, but it's all in, just theoretical terms. It's not reality. But I'm telling you, in the spirit, you are a brand new person. You are awesome in your spirit. You know what? You may not like your body. You might be shorter than you want to be. You may not look as good as you want to be and all of this. And we form opinions about ourselves and have an identity based on all of that. But I'm telling you, in the Spirit, you are awesome. In the Spirit, you are identical to Jesus. I have people all of the time that I'll say something about, you know, that I'm as plain as dirt or something like this. And I have people, don't ever say that. And it's because they have to constantly feel good about their self, their physical self. I'm telling you, my identity isn't in my physical self. It doesn't bother me to say that I'm not the strongest person, the best looking person. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. It doesn't bother me to say any of these things because my identity isn't in myself. It's not in my flesh. It's not in my soul. It's who I am in Christ. And in Christ, I am absolutely awesome. Man, you would be impressed if you could see me in Christ. I'm as perfect and pure as Jesus is, and my entire identity is in Christ. And so therefore, what I look like in the flesh and all of these kind of things aren't a big deal to me. But to some people, man, you are just fighting a losing battle. You know, if nothing else, if you keep breathing, you're going to get old and wrinkled someday. And if your identity is in all of these physical things, and somebody, not me, man, I'm exercising, I'm using this cream, I eat a certain... Just give yourself enough time and you're going to get old and wrinkled, and I guarantee you. You know, it really blessed me when I first got started in ministry. The only place I could minister was in a nursing home. And it was good for me because I saw people that were the movers and the shakers. People used to bow down when they walked by. They were the people that were awesome, but in their latter days, they would just sit there and cry all day long. And I remember this one woman, people used to love me, people used to come by. I was important, I was somebody special, but her identity was all in her flesh. And I guarantee you, your flesh may be better than my flesh, but if it's USDA choice flesh, it's still flesh. And it is going to deteriorate and spoil. And if your identity is wrapped up in what you can do and in your great self, ultimately you're going to fail. But man, you find your identity in Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even when you mess up, your spirit doesn't change. It's sealed. It's perfected forever. And I tell you, you can have a peace and a joy. If you're a person that's up and down like a yo-yo, it's because you're in the flesh. Your spirit is constant. When you get to be like Jesus, you'll always be blessed. You'll always be happy. Even when things are bad and you feel depression, you aren't going to go by that. You're going to go by what the Word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
So anyway, I've tried to lay a foundation for some things. In the next hour, we'll get into more specifics. But man, if this doesn't ring your bell, if it doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Amen? So let's take a break and we'll come back for the next hour.